Blog Talk Radio.
The best thing I've ever done. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never dead, connected, no, no. Can I hear you sing it? Sing it for me, come on, come on, say it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Waters of Everlasting Life Bible Study on Friday evening. We always start at about 7 o'clock here, and we're going to be discussing the topic of the power of forgiveness. We are live tonight, and so we are going to say hello to the man of the hour very briefly, just to say greetings, Pastor. How are you?
Greetings to everyone. I'm doing very well. Thank you. Beautiful evening tonight.
Yes. All right. Well, we are going to say hello to the Harris family joining us tonight, and we're always glad to have the family on. How are you all tonight?
We're doing great.
Hello, Pastor Marshbank and Minister Bowman.
Hey. Y'all ready to eat off the dinner table tonight?
We are ready.
We are ready.
Always appreciate your enthusiasm. And we got Evangelist Andrea, one of our partners online this evening. We definitely want to say hello to her. How you doing, Evangelist Andrea? How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm doing well. How's everybody else?
Wonderful. You ready to eat off the table of the Lord tonight?
Absolutely. I've got my fork ready.
I know it's been a week, hadn't it? I know you've been quite busy with your occupation and doing what you do in hospice, so I know you're ready to eat good, too.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, without any further ado, we definitely want to bless the Lord tonight and thank him just for his goodness before we get ready to partake of the word of God. So, Lord, we want to come to you we're bowed down and prostrate in our hearts, Jesus, and I'm in my physical body. I'm bowed for you, Lord. And we just want to thank you for our pastor, our mentor, that will be discussing with us the power of forgiveness tonight, Lord. Lord, we know, Jesus, that this is one of your heavy commandments that we as saints must and have to do in order to see the kingdom of heaven. 70 times 7, Lord, you said we should forgive our offenders and transgressors so that you, Lord, can forgive us. This is one of the most difficult proving emotional things that we have to carry sometimes, a burden of a grudge, a burden of trying to forgive someone who has offended, someone who has done some terrible deed to us and have wounded us in our flesh, God, and in our spiritual growth. Lord, we're asking tonight, God, Lord, we want you, Jesus, and we receive and believe it's already done. For those that will be listening tonight that have a burden of unforgiveness in their heart and in their mind that they have not let go of, they are holding on to steadfast, God, that you loose the fingers of the man of darkness that holds that grudge, because we are fighting against the spirit, Lord, not the flesh. And God, we ask that you bless Pastor tonight with wisdom and insight. And Lord, let the words come from his mouth, from you, from heaven, as you look down on us tonight, because we don't want anything to separate us. And we definitely don't want it to be forgiveness. As Paul has said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, he says, or any creature, shall separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Lord, we want you to remove any kind of bondage and stagnation and fetter, Lord, any kind of handcuff tied to unforgiving tonight, Lord, as we walk in your divine light, Lord, because you are a lamp unto our feet, Jesus, and we want to follow and enter in at the straight and narrow gate. Lord, we don't want anything to separate us. We don't want our hearts to be free. We want to love as Christ himself has loved. Even when they nailed him to the cross, he was saying, forgive, forgive. They not know what they do. So, Lord, without any further ado, bequeath us, Lord, with your presence, your hand on our shoulders and our mind and our heart, and open our eyes to discern. In the name of your son, Jesus, we bless this holy day, and we thank you for the week, and we bless this fraternization and time of fellowship. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, it's yours.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. I thank God for another day. Thank God for how he has blessed us to come back to another Bible study on this Friday evening. This is a great day that the Lord has prepared for us, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're talking tonight about very, very powerful subject, very straightforward message tonight, but yet very impactful, and talking about the power of forgiveness. And this is one of the things that Jesus himself was very strong on, very, very powerful in, was forgiveness. And as I was looking at his hanging on the cross, there was a few things that he did while he was there, and several things that he said while he was on that cross. The couple of things that really caught my attention was his ability to forgive, even in the time of such adversities that he was going through. And I believe that is a pattern for us today as well. We go through a lot of adverse times in our lives, but none of us have on the cross. none of us have been put to the cross, and we have an ability. I have also a commandment to forgive for the things that we have to go through, and some of that we have to endure. Sometimes they're very unjustly that we have to endure. But we want to be able to get into that mind frame, and this has to be done through a spiritual walk, you all. Don't fool yourself. This cannot be done on the natural plane. You have to have the peace of God in your heart in order to be able to forgive, knowing that we have a Heavenly Father that we're going to ask to forgive us for some of the things, all of the things, rather, that we do. Because
yes,
we all need forgiveness every single day of our lives. When we get to the point to where we don't need forgiveness for anything, then we don't need to be here on the planet. Simple
yes
as that. We need to be in heaven already. If we don't have anything we need to be forgiven for, that means that we have become so perfect that we don't have any reason to ask the Lord to forgive us. But
yes,
I tell you what, I don't want to ever get into that frame of mind of thinking that I don't need forgiveness. Praise God, because that sets up pride in a person's heart. Not only pride, but it also sets up self-righteousness, something that the Lord himself will judge. But we're going to get into the scriptures tonight, talking about the power of forgiveness. And as I had spoken before concerning Jesus, while he was hanging on the cross, there was a few things that he did. And it brings to my mind when the malefactor was hanging there with him, and he told him, said, now, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus told him, today, you shall be with me in paradise. What a forgiveness.
Yes.
I mean, what a forgiveness. Suspended time to forgive this man that was about to die on the cross. That sent out a resonating shock waves through me when I really looked at that again, because this man was released from the grips of hell right there on the cross. He was released from it right then. So that's some power, you all. When you can forgive somebody, that also lets me know that we have the ability to either bind somebody or lose somebody. It all depends on how we forgive or how we not forgive. Okay, we're going to a scripture tonight. We're going to look in the book of St. Mark, chapter 11 and verse 25. It's going to give us a little bit more insight on this subject that we're talking about tonight, talking about forgiveness. And in this message tonight, I hope that I can get it over to everyone to find some space somewhere in that heart of ours to forgive our brother, our sister, our neighbor, our coworker, our boss, whoever is above us or over us, underneath us, somebody that may have did something unjustly to us, but they need forgiveness as well. And as we move forward in this lesson tonight, we will see why everybody needs to be forgiven. Okay, going to St. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, I'm going to ask the apostle, if she will, to read that scripture for us tonight.
And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass.
Okay, that right there. When you stand, you have to forgive, first of all, even to get into the presence of God to start praying. You know, when you stand praying, then you forgive. If you got any kind of ought against anybody that you have a quarrel with or any kind of animosity toward because of something they may have did to you, then it is up to us to forgive them, because you want to go into the throne room of God and knowing that you have the confidence when you ask God to forgive you or whatever you want God to do for you, he will hear us. So now, if we're not in that forgiving spirit when we go into praying, then we have no really any business of going before God with anything, because he's not going to hear us. You know, that's simply what the scripture is telling us now. Because when we go to God, first of all, we're going to need forgiveness ourselves. And that's one of the main things that I always do is praying for myself, first of all, to ask the Lord to forgive me for whatever I have done in the day that I have may have not been pleasing in his sight in whatever way I may have not been pleasing in his sight so that he can forgive me. So in order for me to get that even out of the way, I first of all have to do some forgiveness toward whoever may have offended me. So this is what the scripture is telling us tonight here in the book of Mark 11 and 25, that we must, and back then they did a lot of standing while they were praying, you know, we to kneel and prostrate ourselves on our knees now, but back then they did their praying standing up, a lot of them did. So, but this is what Jesus is telling us to hear. When you stand praying, forgive so that your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Okay, we're going to another passage of Scripture. Like I said, this is a straightforward message. We don't have to dig into the dictionaries to know what forgiveness is. We already know. We don't have to go to the encyclopedia or Wikipedia or whatever. We already know what forgiveness is, so let's not hide our head saying like an ostrich and like nothing is happening around me. You know, I don't see it. I don't hear it. Everything is good, you know. But no, let us be honest. Let us be honest and forgive where that is forgiveness needed. And we're going to go to St. Matthew also. He has something to say about this too in the Gospels. St. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 30. And I want her to read that too, because this is a very powerful scripture here in St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. We're going to see here how people, just because they are free, they have been forgiven, they are looking okay right now. Everything is moving smooth right now until everybody else seemingly has now come beneath them. This not a time to be pious, because it looks like the Lord have did you a favor and have given you some grace, some mercy, and another person down the road is not faring so well. So let us look at this passage of scripture here and see how we can better ourselves in the area of forgiveness, because we all need forgiveness. Like I said, nobody on this planet has lived a life to where they don't need to be forgiven for something. The book of John says all men sin, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you say that you have no sin, then you're a liar. And then
yeah.
The truth is
not in
you. You know.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we have to look at when we're talking about, I don't need to be forgiven for that. I ain't did nothing. We got something we need to be forgiven for as well. That's what I'm trying to say. So let us look in this passage of scripture in St. Matthew, chapter 21, and Apostle, if you will, 18 rather, and if you will, read verse number 21 through 35.
And furthermore, just edifying on that last verse, a lot of times when we are going to the Lord, asking us to get this burden from our heart to forgive, a good deal of the time we don't look at what we have actually done to contribute to the mayhem. We don't look in the mirror at our own self. And as the scriptures say, lest we be tempted. Why come we can't evaluate ourselves just as tough as we look at the offenses that have been done to us? We are encouraged to crucify our flesh, to see. Now, there's going to be incidences where we are victims, and there might be incidences where we are completely victims, but we still must look at ourselves in the mirror and do some strong evaluations sometime on if we were doing things the godly way. Are we living the godly way we should be? And as
yes.
we look at Matthew 18, let's see what the Lord says there. This is Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the pay me what you owe. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him unto the prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest thou also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. From your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Let us see if we can unpack this one. All right. This is a big bag right here. Let us see if we can go through this bag here and unpack it. I mean, because this passage of scripture here is carrying a huge punch, honey. I mean, first of all, Peter is asking, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, not only seven times, but 70 times seven. So I looked at that passage there, 70 times seven. And it correlates very strongly with the 70 weeks of Daniel. Did you hear
me? Yes, sir.
Which also comes to the very end of this age. Isn't that something?
Yes.
It comes to the end of this age, 70 times 7. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So how many weeks was it in Daniel's week? 70 weeks. Seven days in a week, 70 times 7. That is the correlation there. Okay.
How?
Then we find out that this man is also, Jesus have given how the king had servants, and he came to one servant and owed him a great sum, and he was ready to throw him into the prison, you know, because he couldn't pay. And he had also already had gathered his wife and children to all of the debt be paid. But this man had threw himself on the mercy of at the king's feet, rather, just say, have patience with me. I'm going to pay you everything that I owe you. And the king had compassion on him and forgave him all of his debt. Now, look at what it says. And he loosed him. Talking about binding and loosing you all. In this particular context of scripture, this is a way that we can either bind somebody or loose somebody. Depending on how we either forgive them or if we forgive them not. This is binding and loosing you all. I know a lot of time we think about binding and loosing because we want to get free of some kind of a dilemma that we may have fallen victim to or some kind of discomfort we may be in or something we may have in our thought process that something may be coming up against us. And I bind that in the name of Jesus. But we're quick to say that. But now your bind loosen is in whether or not you forgive or do not forgive. This is where the real binding and loosing comes in at. Simply because if we continue to read on, you will find out that this king loosed his servant of that big burden that he had forgiven him. But it's going to get even deeper, sweetheart. Listen to me good. Because this same man that was forgiven all of that debt went out and found somebody that owed only 1% of what he owed. Okay?
Yeah, hypocrite.
And, he caught him by the neck saying, pay me all. I want it now. I want everything. Please have mercy. Pity on me. You know, pay you everything that I owe you. You know, but he said, no, I want it now. He couldn't pay him because he didn't have it. All right? You can't get blood out of a turnip. So when he couldn't pay him, he had him thrown in prison. But he had somebody watching him because all of these other servants around had pity on this man that was thrown in prison and went and told the king. You know, you forgave that man everything that he owed you. And he went out and found somebody that owed him a great deal less than what he owed you. And he put him in prison, cast him in there. And then the king himself was wrong. This is the irony of the story here. Look at the end of this story. Because this king was indignation was in a righteous state, he said to this servant, did not I loose you and forgive you of your debt? Well, you should have did the same thing for this man. But you cast him into prison. Therefore, if you look at this passage of scripture, he said, now, therefore, I'm going to put you to the tormentors. Do you all know what tormentors is according to the scripture? Tormentors are the demonic forces.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's what tormentors are. So if you got trouble coming your way and you don't know where the trouble is coming from, you might want to check whether or not you've been forgiving somebody. Are you harboring unforgiveness in your heart? If trouble is on the horizon, if things are going haywire every corner you turn, trouble on the left, trouble on the right, trouble behind, trouble in front, waiting on you to get there. May want to check and see whether or not you have been in the state of forgiveness. Because if you don't forgive your neighbor his trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you of your trespasses. What does this mean? That means that if God is not going to stand in the gap for you and forgive you of your trespasses, that opens the door for the tormentors to come your way. Uh-oh. That is what that means. But you can alleviate a lot of that, all of that, by forgiving while it is yet time for you to give. In other words, do it while it is in your power to do so. It's in your power to forgive your neighbor their trespasses, but if you don't forgive them your trespasses, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses against him. Okay, Apostle, if you will, read those last two verses again.
And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Okay, from your heart. Okay. In other words, forgive them before it even comes out of your mouth. That is what it's talking about, from your heart. Forgive them before it comes out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, so forgive them before it even get to your, come out of your mouth. That means you have forgiven them already in your heart. Okay, and now we thank God for that. We're going to another passage of Scripture. Not going to detain you. Going to another passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. We'll see some more here about forgiveness and how to handle situations when it is time to forgive your neighbor, your brother, your sister, because we all are in the same unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. We want to grow together.
Yes.
We want to admonish the Lord together. And we can't be all scattered when we're trying to be built up as a spiritual house for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to work through out in the vineyard. We want to be together of the same mind, speaking the same thing, doing the same thing, you know. And this is the reason why we can't be so quick to try to throw one another under the bus and leave them under the bus because, no, we want to get them up and dust them off, bring them back to the prominence of where God can use them. God is already ready to use them anyway. You know, it's a point of us wanting them to be used by God simply because God has a way of doing things that's far beyond our imagination. If we don't have forgiveness in our heart, then we can't look for God to forgive us of our trespasses against him. But God is not willing that any man should perish at all, not even his works. He don't want his works to perish. So Galatians 6 and 1, we're going to look at that and see what the Lord has to say in this passage of Scripture concerning our brother, okay?
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye, which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
If a brother be overtaken in a fault,
yes,
ye, which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering
yes.
yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, whatever this brother had been fallen victim to and was overtaken in that fall, then we are supposed to be spiritual enough to restore that brother, not ridicule him, but restore him in the spirit of meekness. Not only
meekness.
That, but considering ourselves,
yes.
lest we also be tempted. Now, what does this mean? This means that we're supposed to be fearful that it could have been me. You know,
yes.
it could have been me that was the one that has fallen. It could have been me, the one that fell head first, face first, into a whole lot of shame, hurt, and discomfort. You know, it could have been me. You know, so I want to restore my brother. I want to restore my sister, considering that it could have been myself, you know, because why? I would want somebody to restore me the same identical way. But you got to be spiritual in order to do this. This is what the Galatians, Paul's writing is telling us. Ye which are spiritual. In other words, if you're not spiritual, honey, don't even attempt it simply because you can't do it. It takes a spiritual inclination. It takes a spiritual being, a spiritual outset of attitude in order
maturity.
To restore such a
yes.
one. That word restore is very, very powerful right there, to restore such a one. That means you sometimes got to stay up all night soothing and rubbing on that thing to make sure that this person is getting back into that he is being accepted as a brother or as a sister. No, you don't go and run them down on the telephone line. You don't put their name in paper. You don't put their names on the party line so everybody can have a party with it. No, you want to be
spiritual enough to keep this thing as confidential as you can until this person is restored. You don't want them bruised and battered and bloodied up. You don't want them broke down and so shameful that they can't hold their head up in public. No, you which are spiritual. If you can't be spiritual, honey, stay out of the way. Let somebody that's spiritual do it. Hallelujah. But don't try to do it if you're not in the mindset to do it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't mean to sound loud, obnoxious with you, but this thing is deep in my spirit tonight because there is a power that goes along with it. Forgiveness has a power, honey. You don't understand the kind of power that forgiveness has. Simply because you can't muster it by yourself. This has to come from God and from God alone. You can't do it. This comes from the power of the grace of God himself. What you mean, preacher? I'm talking about the power of the grace of God, something that you did not deserve. When grace and mercy steps in the way of what you truly deserve, I'm talking about that kind of forgiveness. When you have an opportunity to forgive, brother and sister, honey, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted, because we want to be able to fly. We want to be able to soar. We want to be able to get up and go forward in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to be able to be restored back to where we was before the fall. Think about Jesus, what he came to do when Adam fell and cause every man after him that was born into the world to be bound under the shame of sin and death. But Jesus came forgiving mankind so that that would be removed from man. That's the power of the grace of God. So let us consider ourselves, lest we also be tempted. Praise God.
Yes.
Moving along quickly now, going to another passage of scripture. Praise God. Going to the book of Ephesians, Paul's going to lay it out again here for us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and he's going to let us see some of the things of where we would sometimes be caught up in the fall, you know, because we which are, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you know, we which are spiritual need to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, you know, so we're going to see what a lot of times a lot of conflicts and stuff comes up, especially when we're in crowds, especially when there are meetings going on, especially when there are some kind of board meetings or going on that we have to take a part in and things like that. Ideas don't meet together at the same conjunction for the same cause. You can get into a lot of conflicts like that, and some people have even came to blows by not agreeing with one another in board meetings and things. Let us stay away from that kind of ill feelings toward one another. And Paul is putting this message of love in effect here, and that's the way we have to conquer this thing before it gets out of hand, is to make sure that we are rooted and grounded, first of all, in the word of God and have the love of God in our heart enough for our brother and sister so that we don't want to see them fall. We don't want to see them go down the wrong path. We don't want to say something or do something that would cause anybody any hurt, harm, or danger. So we're going to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to ask the apostle to read that passage for us there.
Additionally, I wanted to say a lot of times when we are going through the process of trying to forgive, we go and visit the crime scene too many times. We want to go back with, oh, they did this and, oh, they did that. And, you know, the devil will really talk to you and give you all kinds of reasons and have you counting them on your fingers and toes on why you should hold out. They've been this way since I was a child. They did this to my husband. They broke up my marriage.
Oh.
He'll have you naming things from A to Z on what has been done to you. Now, this isn't new to us, but and it can be more, the more you go up in your anointing, the more the devil going to come to you with some hard stuff not the easy things when you were young, when you just got saved. He going to come with some hard stuff for you to hold grudges on. So, you know, there's people trying to forgive people who've murdered people in their family, you know, and I'm going to tell you. Now, when it comes to someone being murdered in your family, we're not saying that you, oh, I forgive them the same night. We know that when things are intentionally done as damaging as that, you're going to really have to go to the Lord. You know, but you don't go like I hear people saying, I'll never forgive them as long as I live. I know that God say forgive, but I'm not forgiving them. I've heard people say that. You know that God say forgive, and you don't want to forgive them? Oh, you talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Yeah.
My God.
When things like that you're facing, we're not saying that it's going to be easy, but we're saying that there's some healing that has to take place on those levels, and you should be right before God at his feet asking him to not let you keep revisiting crime scenes and enumerating all the things that have been done to you, for you, against you, your family, because when you walk in meekness, as we're talking about tonight, and you walk in humility, you gain friends, and those friends stay by you through thick and thin. And that's your support structure when you're going through the act of forgiveness. It moves you closer and closer and closer and closer to God himself. And we can say, I forgive them. And we don't go, I ain't going to forget. We go, I forgive them. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You put on the new man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications, proceed out of your mouth. See, we can't have this cursing and profanity. We got to have good conversation. We were not bought with corruptible things. So be having corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amazing.
Yes.
Truly, truly amazing. And, you know, this passage here, Paul is, he's really cleaning the slate with them because he's going down the checklist of what not to do and how to do. And one of the things that caught my attention was clamor, that clamor being loud and obnoxious, trying to talk over one another. So one can't understand what the other one is saying. Have anybody ever seen a situation like that before? I just want to know, has anybody ever seen a situation like that and know what kind of good can come out of it? There's no good going to come out of that. You know, nobody can hear the other one speak simply because I want to be louder than you. I got something I got to say. I got to get it off my chest. I ain't ready to forgive you. I ain't ready to forgive nobody. I got to say this thing. You know, all of this kind of foolishness, no, we want to put off that old man with his deeds now and fall into the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind.
That's what Paul is talking about here in the book of Ephesians. I wish I really had the time to unpack all of this tonight, but I really don't. But I want you all to look at this passage of scripture, go through it verse by verse, and dissect it, simply because it is a powerful passage of scripture when it comes to forgiveness. Because this, he's trying to keep these people into the kingdom. He's trying to keep them into the kingdom way. These are people that are just newly being coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ in Ephesus that he is ministering to at this time. So he's trying to keep them unified in the bonds of peace with one another, and you can't do it with everybody pulling in an opposite direction. You got to have everybody going on one accord, with one accord, and minding the same thing, doing the same thing, having feelings for one another, feelings, respecting one another, feelings. This is what it's all talking about. This is another form of forgiveness here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. This is another form of forgiveness where you can sometimes take the low road in order to keep the buzz of peace and let God work things out. Because as long as we are so obnoxious with one another, nothing is going to get worked out. Trust me, been there and done that. It's not going to happen. You cannot feed and fight at the same time. Too much food going to get lost. So we want to be able to feed from the good table of the Lord. That old saying is, come over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. So we don't want to waste all this good food that's on the table. We want everybody to eat, enjoy themselves, drink their drink, be merry, and have a great time in the Lord. Hope I've said something to you tonight to help you out and to keep you moving forward in the Lord in forgiveness, because as the days come ahead, we will be finding ourselves where we're going to need somebody. We're going to need to forgive somebody, and they're going to need to forgive us. So let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a passage of scripture I would like to make reference to as well in the book of Proverbs 18 and 21. It says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So remember that one. Put it around your neck, hanging on your bedstand, whatever, hanging up somewhere. Put it on your refrigerator. One beautiful lady says she has it on her refrigerator. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I thank God for that. You know, so we have the power in our tongue to both bind and loose. This is the power of forgiveness, you all. The power of forgiveness comes directly from God. This is what God has given you as an entity of his spirit so you can free somebody else in this walk here on earth. You have that power. You have that power to either free them, bind them. Remember that. You've got that power. And they can go just as free as a bird. And you want the same thing for yourself. So I hope I've said something tonight for you to keep you moving forward and keep you in the good graces of God. Like I always say, the good graces of God. And I love you tonight. I pray for you. Pray for me. And we will move forward in this walk together. Back into the hands of the apostle. Let us say amen for her.
Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for such an eloquent illustration of all the words and scriptures that we can take with us as far as forgiving. A lot of times we think if we forgive somebody, we've given them some type of power, or we feel that we are a doormat and they're walking all over us. But when we concentrate on what God is going to do in our lives and what God will bless you spiritually with, not just materialist, the kingdom, because we're seeking the kingdom first and righteousness so that everything will come. You know, a lot of times people are in lingering situations their entire life. Same situation. They can't conquer it. I guarantee you a big portion of why you might not have a great relationship while you may be financially inept or trying to move forward, why this is going on and why that's going on academically in your life. Look at, even in, with employment situations, look at if there is a forgiveness issue, a harboring of ill will, a speaking of something negative. When we concentrate on who God is, which is the God of all gods and kings of all kings that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, we are the heirs of Abraham. We are rich. We are powerful. We are prosperous. We will not be forsaken. He's with us to the end of time. When we think on these things, we reap those things. We eat that fruit. But in our generation, we see so many people and crabs in the bucket. We take on those mindsets. That's all we see on TV is sassiness and indignant talk and low classness and violence all the time. And we are becoming such a violent culture. We want to settle everything with, I got to have the last word. And people aren't even just doing the last word. They're pulling guns. They got to be violent, even on the most silliest of trifles. We want to get violent about it. You don't see people handling things with grace and dignity and soft-heartedness and meekness that Paul is saying. But as we walk in this time, thanks to God, we must carry the light that Jesus carried. We must be the light that Jesus is because we're here as heirs, and we do want to hear well done. We don't want to say maybe. We want to know when we die that there's plenty of good things to say about us, especially when it comes to forgiving and especially when it comes to maturing in Christ's likeness. Harris family, any comments, questions?
Yes, I just want to say a thing is still a bit of forgiveness of debt. And he's still with, when I was in class, and Sean was born, and he was in the incubator for about, well, at the hospital for a whole month and about a few days. And his bill was extremely high. It took me forever to pay that bill. And so when the hospital moved from the old one to the new one, I went to pay him a bill. And the lady said, "Oh, it was." She said, "Well, it's less than $150." And so I said, "Is that all?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Check and make sure." She said, "Well, that's it. That's all I could sign." And I paid that, and that meant that they gave me that deal I've been paying over forever, never, never. And so they just took away nearly $1,000 I owed them that was left over from many, many years paying on that deal. But anyway, that's what they did, and it was a blessing. And I was glad to see that come to an end.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to say I enjoyed everything tonight, and what y'all said was true about forgiving and everything. And it's been so many times, like in school, for example. Okay. Sometimes they want to get into a fight with me for some reason. Push me around or something. But there's always a friend that was with me, and they stand for me and say, "Sean, don't you worry about these people messing with you. We're going to protect you." And one of them was scared that time. And the principal said, "You don't have to do that for Sean. He'll be all right." But anyway, that's the way it was a lot of times. And I just rub it off my back and go on, just walk on, pray for that person. That's what I used to do. Just pray for
him.
Amen.
Amen.
Man.
Only thing I was going to say is that I'm pretty sure my sister and my mom and brother remembers that years ago when those six or eight guys jumped on me. And, I mean, they was trying to spray me with tear gas. They kicked me. They beat me, threw me up in the air. I mean, to a point where I landed on my head. I had knots and bruises on my head. And I could have easily been killed because I was heavily outnumbered. But, you know, I had even wrote on a piece of paper all the people that I knew was there, because there were so many I didn't know all of them, but the ones I did write on a piece of paper, the devil was using me because I had it planned out that I was going to get them one by one. But see, because I was going to church and everything, and I kept on listening to the word, I found out later that forgiveness is the beginning of Christian conduct. And that's how, you know, we were all saved, is by forgiveness. You know, God forgives us for Christ's sake. And so, as I talk to y'all today, it's like when I eventually met the main ones face-to-face, and they thought that I was going to fight them in a store, but I had told them, I said, "No, that's old." I said, "We was young and crazy then, and we talked we actually talked like we was best friends. I let them know there was no hard feelings. Everything was forgiven. And so it just, it seemed like once the forgiveness came, once I really forgave them purely, it's like a burden had been lifted. I no longer felt no animosity or no will to even look for them anymore, because I did get two or three of them back. But I couldn't spend the rest of my life trying to do that and end up dying and go to hell, you know? And so I just thank God for allowing me to wise up instead of dying before my time, because I was pretty dumb then, trying to get all of them back. And if I had to die before then, I'd been seeing a rough day, you know? So I just want to thank God for just blessing me to realize that the beginning of Christian conduct begins with forgiveness.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Great, great illustration about forgiveness. Andrea, you have any comment tonight for the Bible study? Or
beautiful, beautiful lesson tonight, Pastor. Great illustration, just like Tamara was saying. I like the points that both of you guys brought up tonight because when you talk about forgiveness, God not only forgives, he does restore. And Pastor is correct, you know, when it comes to that. Like Tamara said, sometimes we don't like to look at ourselves because we can attribute to what's going on in the situation, because I can look back in some situations that I've had, you know. And when you're dealing with forgiveness, it's just so important for us to remember how God forgives us daily. I'm talking about daily. You know, there's so many times we fall short. He forgives us. He restores us. You know, he brings us right back into the fold. And that's what we have to remember as we're dealing with people, that, you know, it's our duty to forgive and to act in love, because anytime God spoke to anyone about something that they were doing that was not right, he didn't treat them ugly when he told them, you know, this is not the way you do things, you know, and he forgave them. And you just move on from that. So I think tonight's lesson was very helpful, and it was just beautiful, you know, and it's definitely something to keep in mind, because we do have to forgive, because we can't walk around and harbor unforgiveness in our heart. That stuff sets up illness in your body, you know. You can't do that. So, you know, you're walking around stressed, and you got all these different illnesses. You just got to clean it up and forgive. And, he not only forgives, he restores.
All right.
Yes, he does.
Amen. And there's a lot of people walking around with cancer, and it's because of unforgiveness. Miss Honey, do you have any comments for tonight?
Oh, it's just one of my favorite subjects. I know forgiveness sets you free from your past, and, you know, unforgiveness produces bitterness. I do know that. And, you know, when you don't forgive somebody, it opens the door for Satan to just take all kind of ground in your life if you don't forgive somebody. The Lord's Prayer says it all, you know, forgive them of their sin, you know, forgive the debt so that I forgive your debt.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Our ministry partner, Mother Collins, do you have any comments or questions tonight, Mother Collins?
That's awesome, awesome word tonight, Pastor. I thank God for the word. I myself know how important it is to forgive. Been there, done that. And I know how God did me and kept and the masses and hatred and all those things out of my heart towards people. I was able to forgive and go ahead on and live this life for Christ.
Praise God.
Amen. Our Pulaski, Tennessee guest, you have any comments or questions tonight? Do you have any questions from Pulaski?
Well, I don't have any questions. I just thank God for just being God all by himself, because I know he's a forgiving God, and he forgive us, so we have to forgive others. And I know that's a true fact. And you can't have hate in your heart. I've had hate in my heart, and I really, since I've started going to church, I really don't hate anyone anymore. And I don't love everybody like God loves us, like I should, but at least I'm making an improvement. And I just love everybody. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Praise God.
I can't imagine that from you. I really can't, as long as I've known you since I was a child. I have to tease him, but yeah, I've always known him just to be a good man, a giving man, give the shirt off his back. But as we get ready to close tonight, we know we got others that are joining us on laptops and iPhones that can't comment, and we want to go ahead and end the hour on the power of forgiveness tonight as we close with just a brief prayer. Lord, we are fellowshipping with you in the realm of heaven as we hold hands one with another that have joined us tonight in Bible study, God. We are gracious. We hold forth such gratitude of a profound nature, profound God, for our pastor, right, our mentor, our spiritual leader, who's always available for questions and calls and consultations. That's what we try to do here at Waters of Everlasting Life. We want to be available. We want to teach and preach and spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. We want to be your servant, God. We want to be available when you need us to be available, Lord. We want to be equipped in ministry, Lord, to do your will, God, because that is what you sent us here to do, because you knew us before we were formed in the womb, God. So we want to carry the torch, Lord. We want to sit here, Lord. We want to walk out here, God, and we want everybody to understand that we're here for your cause. We're in the vineyard and casting our nets for your cause, so that everything that is done through the glory of God, through the Son, Jesus, all reflects back to you, Jesus. We love you for this Friday night Bible study and the power of forgiveness, Lord. May it enable us. May you entrust us to know and to do, because the word tells us to not just be hearers only. We must also be doers. And so by faith and grace, we want to say thank you, Lord. Will we be faithful, Lord, committed and devoted from this forward,
yes, Lord,
forgiving our trespassers as you have forgiven us. This is Waters of Everlasting Life Ministry. Thank you for joining us for Bible study, everyone, and have a good night. You all be blessed.